this time of worship with us this morning. We want to sing a song that leads us in worship. It's called King of Kings, Majesty. And then we will listen to God's Word straight after that. All right, let's sing this song together. The word should be on the screen, and you can join with us wherever you are. Well, I've titled this series Hope in Uncertain Times, and over the past few weeks we've been looking at hope from a few different perspectives. And we saw from the life of Hannah a few weeks ago about her hope in the midst of barrenness, and then after that we saw the life of David, and we saw how he hoped in God while on the run, and he spent many years on the run from his enemies. And then a couple of weeks ago we looked at Habakkuk, and how Habakkuk continued to hope in God in the midst of the ruins of Jerusalem. He says, you know, though the fig tree should not blossom, though there be no grapes in the vine, though no cattle in the stall, he says, yet I will hope in the Lord and have joy in the God of my salvation. And so we looked at those stories and those aspects of hope, if you like. And I hope that it was an encouragement for you, because we live in challenging times, don't we? Uncertain times. Even this morning I want to talk to you about our hope, our eternal hope in Christ Jesus, which is founded, based upon the promises that God has made to us in His Word. Now, you know, we all have promises made to us. But the assurance we have of some promises as against the others is greater, based upon the character of the person making the promise. And so if the person is someone who's proved to be trustworthy and reliable, then we have greater assurance that that promise is actually going to be fulfilled. Not so much for someone who hasn't had that kind of a trustworthy character. Now, think about this in terms of God. When God makes promises, is He reliable? Can you trust Him? And the answer to that question is a resounding yes, because God has proved Himself to be absolutely faithful and true. He has proved to have in His heart our best interest. God has proved that, and God is deeply concerned about us and loves us. And because of those things and the very character of God, truth, faithfulness, things that are founded upon who He is, you and I can take refuge in His promises. We can take refuge in His promises. These are promises that we can bank on. Now this morning, as we look at this final message in this series, I want to talk to you again about the eternal hope that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, while we hope in God for every day's providence and for grace and for strength and for wisdom, we also hope in God for eternal things, things that are yet to come in a time in the future when Christ returns. We hope in God for those things. And so what I want to share with you is four key truths about our eternal hope in Christ Jesus. Four truths about our eternal hope in Christ Jesus. Here they are. Our hope in Christ is founded on unchangeable purposes. Number two, our hope in Christ promises an imperishable inheritance. Number three, our hope in Christ guarantees the resurrection of the dead. And number four, our hope in Christ assures us of eternal life. You see, Christian hope is not wishful thinking or uncertain expectation. It is not a subjective feeling of positivity or, I'm just hoping that things will work out. But it is an objective truth to be embraced. It's an objective reality that we hold on to. That's what Christian hope is. In fact, in Hebrews 11:1, speaking about faith, it uses the word hope. And I think it's good for us to read this. Here's what it says. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. The assurance of things hoped for. That's Christian hope, where we hope, but we have with assurance. That's what it is. There's an assurance. There's a conviction of the things that we don't see. That's what Christian hope is all about. It's not something that we see right now. You know, in an age when we want proof and we want, you know, rationalism and we want science to prove everything, the Christian lives by faith in God. That's how the Christian lives. And so in Romans 8:24 and 25, here's what Paul writes. He says, "For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." We wait for it with patience. We hope for what we do not see. We wait for it with patience. Here's another one in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Again, he writes and he says, "As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." That's what we look for in hope. Our eyes are fixed on the things that are unseen in that sense. Because we look with faith. We have hope in that. So let's look at these four key truths about our eternal hope in Christ for us this morning. Number one, our hope in Christ is founded on God's unchangeable purposes. You got that? Our hope in Christ is founded on God's unchangeable purposes. Now, there's a great verse, a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, and it says this. It says, "So, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that is his promise and, or his purpose and his oath that fulfills that purpose, it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set forth before us." Now look at this, right? In verse 18, towards the end of these verses that I read to you, he says, we might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. That's the point that he's getting to. He wants you and me, you and I, to have strong encouragement in the hope that we have set before us, that is set before us. And the basis of that strong encouragement is the unchangeable character of God's purpose and the oath that God backs it up with. Now, there are two words in the New Testament used to speak of God's purposes. And they're sometimes translated counsel, deliberate decree, predetermination, wisdom. These words are translated depending on the context in those ways. Let me show you a couple of verses with regard to God's purposes, right? And you'll understand even more what makes his purposes unchangeable. And I want to turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 1. And there's a few verses in Ephesians 1 that I want to look at. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Let me just dig it up over here and I'll read to you. Here's what he says. He says, even as he chose us. So he's speaking about God. Even as God chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And then he says, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. And here's that phrase, according to the purpose of his will. So what God has done for us is that he chose us before the foundations of the world. He adopted us in Christ Jesus according to the purpose of his will. So God's will, the purpose of God's will started from before the foundation of the world, right? And so that's the first reason why we see that it's unchangeable, and you'll see more of it. In verse 10, Paul writes over here, he says, making known to us, verse 9, the mystery of his will according to his purpose, there you have it, which he set forth in Christ. God's purpose is set forth in Christ, verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So the God's purpose, which is for the fullness of time, not just from the foundations, before the foundations, but for the fullness of time, to the end of time, has to do with Christ and everything being united in Christ Jesus, being placed even at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 10. Verse 11 says this, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him. There you have it again. Who works all things according to the counsel. That's another word for purpose, according to the counsel of his will. So God works everything according to the purpose of his will, the counsel of his will, the deliberate decree of his will. He works everything. And then he says that we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him. You got that? So again, you have, God's purpose, God's purpose, God's purpose, before the foundations of the world, right to the fullness of time. Even our own, he says over here, being predestined, even our own inheritance that's given to us is according to the counsel of God's will. And I can almost imagine that God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in eternity, in their counsel, came up with this amazing, glorious, elaborate plan that God will accomplish, because it is God's plan and it is unchangeable in its purpose. In fact, Ephesians 3:11 speaks of God's purpose as an eternal purpose. That's what it says, that it uses that word, an eternal purpose. These are things that God, that makes God's purposes unchangeable, unchangeable. Back in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, here's what he says again, right? He says, so that when God desired to show, so he's desiring to show us something, and he wants to convince the heirs of the promise, that's the church, that's us, the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. And so you have God's purpose, something that was given before the foundations of the world in the counsel of God. And then you have the oath of God, which is the word of God that guarantees the fulfillment of that purpose. These two unchangeable things of God make it impossible for God's word to fail. That's the point that he's making over here. Makes God absolutely and totally reliable and faithful, if you like. Now, what's the oath? And here's the oath that God makes, right? He says over here, he guaranteed it with an oath. The oath is something that God made to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've got to read through chapter 6 and chapter 7 to understand it. We don't have time to get into all of the details of it. But God makes a promise to his son. In Psalm 110 verse 4, the Lord Yahweh is speaking to his son, and he says, "You are priest." And he says, "I swore an oath to you. You are priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Now, Melchizedek is this mysterious figure that appears in Genesis, most likely a theophany, which is an appearance of God in the Old Testament. And it says over there that he was a king priest. And what Hebrews picks up on, he says that Christ Jesus is, he says, "You are of the order of Melchizedek," meaning that his priestliness, his high priest role that Jesus has, is after the order of Melchizedek. It is an eternal priesthood. And I want to read a couple of verses to you in Hebrews 7, 24 and 25 that helps you understand this. Here's what he says over here. He says, "But he holds this priesthood," speaking about Christ, "permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." And so God gave an oath to his son, and he says, "You are priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Christ took this priesthood and he went into the very presence of God in the eternal heavens, in the heavens, in the most holy presence of God. Not just a temple, not a tabernacle on the earth, but the real presence of God. And he is an eternal priest for us, making intercession for us. And he says that those who draw near to God might do it in confidence. We might do it in confidence. That's what he's talking about over here. What a hope we have. He's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. He's able to save us. And so that's the first key truth about our hope in God, is that it is founded on God's unchangeable purposes. God's unchangeable purposes, guaranteed with an oath that he made to his son to establish his priesthood, to establish his kingdom even. And you and I, in Christ Jesus, have great hope and confidence in him. Number two, secondly, our hope in Christ promises an imperishable inheritance. An imperishable inheritance. You know, in our world, things are constantly breaking down, aren't they? You can see in every front there's decay, and ultimately there's even death. And it happens even in the simplest of things. You know, when we started this time of the lockdown, there was a little bit of an excitement that we've got these days, and you know, we're going to enjoy this time off from work. But very quickly, 53 days, 54 days have zipped by. And it's not fun anymore. It's wearisome even as we go through this. But it's just passed by. It's gone. It's nothing permanent about it, even the enjoyment of it. We're surrounded every single day by this kind of perishability in our lives. Imagine what it would be to enter into a reality that was imperishable. Imagine what that would be like. You know, Peter the Apostle is thinking about this, and he writes in 1 Peter 1:3-5. I want to read these verses to you. Here's what he says. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And here's the focus for it for this morning. "To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." You got that? We're born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, unfading, and undefiled, that is kept in heaven for us. And then he says, "Who by God's power are being kept or guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Yeah, just notice these things, right? We're born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope is a living hope because Christ is alive. He conquered and he defeated death, and our hope is in this living Christ. And it's a hope to an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading. Amazing. Amazing. I can't even begin to imagine the glory of something like that. Nothing in this world could even compare to something like that. Think about the best things that you've enjoyed in life. Maybe going to your favorite place to eat your favorite food with your favorite people. Glory is infinitely greater than the best things that you and I can enjoy in this life. Whether it's cars or clothes or money or people or intimacy even, glory, this eternal glory is far, far greater than that. In fact, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, he says, "For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Things that are unseen are eternal. Our hope in Christ promises us an imperishable, eternal inheritance. What joy awaits those who hope in Christ Jesus? Think about this. All the suffering and all the pain in this world, even in our own lives, we will one day close our eyes to, only to open them in the presence of Christ and of great imperishable glory. That's what it is. And it's our hope in Christ that gives us that assurance, that promises us that imperishable inheritance. Everything on this earth is going to fade away and pass away because it is temporary. Moth and rust destroy it, is what Jesus says. But the things of heaven are imperishable, unfading in their beauty and their glory. And we can't even begin to comprehend the grandeur of those things. But when we stand in the presence of God, 1,000 lives lived on the earth will not even compare to a single day in glory. That's what it's going to be like. Our hope in Christ promises us an imperishable inheritance. Number three, our hope in Christ guarantees the resurrection of the dead. It guarantees the resurrection of the dead. And I think this is so encouraging, you know, especially for those of us who have lost loved ones. And these are loved ones in Christ that we have lost. And you know, we come to a point where we feel grief and loss over them. I've, you know, and like me, you've probably been to many graveyards, and And it's a somber reality when you're in a graveyard because there's death all around you. And yet at the same time, I feel strangely warmed and encouraged when I read those stones on those graves, and many of them, most of them, have something to say about the resurrection. They have something to say about Christ and our hope in Christ. And, you know, something as simple as, I am the resurrection and the life, on a tombstone. My goodness, what power those words of Jesus. Because that's what Jesus guarantees, the resurrection of the dead. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Paul writes, he says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may grieve as others do who have no hope. There's the idea of it. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. What great hope for us. Because we believe that, you know, we grieve and we mourn, but not as those who have no hope. Because we believe that Christ will return and the dead in Christ will be raised. And Paul in Corinthians, he says the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable. There's a new resurrection body for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now Paul clarifies this even more in Romans chapter 6 verse 5. He says, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, and he's speaking about Christ's death on the cross, and you and I, when we put our faith in Jesus on the cross, we are reckoned as dead. And so Paul will say something like, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what he's talking about. We're reckoned dead because when Christ died, we by faith in Christ died with him on the cross. But then he goes on to say in Romans 6 verse 5, he says, if that's true in our death, then it's true that we shall also certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And what was his resurrection like? It was a bodily resurrection. Jesus, when he came back to life, wasn't a ghost. He wasn't just a spirit. He was a spirit body that was back to life. And he walked amongst his disciples. He even ate food with them. And they touched him and they felt him. That's the kind of resurrection that we hope for and we look forward to. Our hope in Christ guarantees the resurrection from the dead to an imperishable new life. And finally, for this morning, our hope in Christ assures us of eternal life. Not just are we raised from the dead with a new body, imperishable, we have the hope of eternal life. And it assures us of eternal life. You know, Ravi Zacharias, many of you would know of him. I've heard him speak even. He's suffering from a rare form of cancer, and it appears is nearing the end of his life. And this morning he tweeted this. This is what he says. The story of the gospel is the story of eternal life. My life is unique and will endure eternally in God's presence. I will never be no more. I will never be lost because I will be with the one who saves me. What words from a man who's just, you know, appears to be in his last days. What hope. What hope of eternal life. Eternal life. To live forever and ever in the presence of God. And that's the ultimate assurance that you and I have, is that we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. John says it very simply, 1 John 2:25, he says, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. That's the promise he made to us, eternal life. You know, when the Lord Jesus passes through Samaria, he meets the Samaritan woman, if you remember that story in John chapter 4, and he takes that opportunity to teach her truth, to show her truth. And she's drawing out water, and he you know, he has this conversation with her about water, about how that water would satisfy a physical thirst. But he says, the water that I give you, the living water that I give you, springs up to eternal life. It says there's a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And you can read this in John 4:14. He says, the water that I give you will remove your thirst forever. It will give you eternal life. Not just life now, but eternal life. That's the water that I give you. And I love that picture, you know, because you have you drink a glass of water now and it satisfies your thirst. And we feel it a lot in the summer. We feel it, that thirst. But what about that thirst for life itself? For eternal life itself? That thirst to live forever? Well, Christ satisfies that thirst. That thirst. If we put our faith in Him, we have eternal life. John chapter 6 verse 40 says this. He says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You got that? Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. That's what He says. Now, John 3:36 makes it very clear, even terrifyingly clear, that, you know, those who don't hope in Him, they don't have that that promise, if you like. And so He says over here, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son, that's believe in the Son, does not have life or shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. What a terrifying reality, that outside of Jesus Christ, we have no hope for eternal life. We will only face God's judgment and will spend an eternity away from Him in the very fires of hell itself. But God gives us hope in Christ. And my hope is that you would hear this message even this morning. If you never put your faith in Jesus, then put it in Christ. Have hope in Jesus. Because, you know, when you hope in Christ, it is founded on unchangeable purposes that God has. From before the foundations of the world to the fullness of time, God's purposes are unchangeable. It is when you hope in Christ, you know, you have promises of an imperishable inheritance. Imperishable inheritance. And when you hope in Christ, you have the guarantee of the resurrection of the dead. Your body will be raised to life. And when you hope in Christ, you have the assurance of eternal life. What truth and what encouragement we have. And you know, coming back to that initial verse that the writer of Hebrews says to us, he talks about how we should have, you know, an encouragement to, here's what he says, that we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. You know, in the Old Testament, when a person wanted to save his life because he maybe accidentally did something wrong or even willfully at times did something wrong, he would run away to a city of refuge and no one could touch him as long as he was in that city of refuge. Or he would run into the temple and hold on to the horns of the altar. That's the picture in Hebrews over here of a person who flees for refuge. But for us today, we flee for refuge to Christ Himself. And as we come into faith in Christ, He is our refuge. And it says over here, we might hold fast to the hope set before us. We might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. When you believe in Christ, when you hope in Christ, God gives you great encouragement in your life. And what you can do then is you can live freely. You don't have to worry about securing yourself in this world. God has got you. He secures you. And you and I are actually free to give our life away in service to others because it is secure in God. We don't have to indulge in this world for some measly kind of pleasure when we have eternal pleasures awaiting us. And we can set our eyes on that. We don't have to satisfy ourselves in things that don't eternally satisfy us over here. We don't need to do that. Much of it takes us away from God. and we can live in hope each day. I like what Paul says, and I'll finish with this, Romans 14 verse 8. He says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." May God bless you as you meditate on what you've heard this morning. And as you hope in Christ, our eternal hope, may He give you great encouragement in your life. Let me just pray and we'll close this time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, for this assurance that we have, these great promises that you make to us. And these promises are based upon your character. Your character is faithful and true, and we have absolute confidence in you. Thank you so much, Lord, for what we have to look forward to in hope of this eternal life, this imperishable inheritance, of this resurrection from the dead. All of these founded on eternal promises and purposes. Oh God in heaven, what security you've given to us. Thank you so much, Lord, for this. Help us, Lord, to take each day as it comes with a confidence and a quiet assurance that you're with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week with Christ.